Hello and welcome to the TTI Distribution Download, the podcast where we talk about all things happening in the world of electronic components with the specialists of TTI. Today it's another installment of Big Ideas and Little Known Facts about Connectors with John Sandy of TTI and Dan Venuto of Molex.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everybody. Welcome to TTI and Molex's Big Ideas and Little Known Facts podcasts with me, John Sandy from TTI, and with me in the booth, Dan Venuto from Molex. Today, we're going to be talking to Chip Walsh, Global Product Manager for Molex's range of solderless terminals.
Hi, Chip. So to begin, can you tell our audience a little bit about you and your background in the industry?
I sure can, Dan, and thanks to you and John for having me on today. It started back in the late 80s with a company called Pile National, and I moved from there to Cinch and was there for a short period of time when Molex came calling back in 1990. And I started out with a KK product in product management with Molex for many years, moved into other products like modular jacks, also developed the MicroFit 3.0 family of products, and then ultimately started up with Molex's industrial division, as it was called at that time, back in 2002. That division was headquartered in the Tampa Bay area in Florida, where we currently have two plants that manufacture solderless terminals, which really started back in 1982. Back when Molex first acquired a company called ETC. And many of our customers, our longtime customers, still recognize the ETC name. Some of the old ETC part numbers, which were a smart part numbering system, and we still use those numbers today as our engineering number. But I spent about 5 years with the industrial division down in Tampa, and then Molex acquired Woodhead Industries. And so we've been the industrial business unit, industrial solutions business unit, really since around that time. There have been some reorganizations, but largely I've stayed connected with that solderless terminal product, the rings and spades, quick disconnects, splices, and similar types of products.
So interesting snippet into your background there, Chip, and big involvement in some of Molex's big products, so that's good to hear. So if we go back to looking at solderless terminals specifically, is there anything stand out that have as a unique feature or something that Molex does in this marketplace that no one else does?
So Molex's concentration, there are really two sides of the solderless terminal business, or the ring and spade and quick disconnect. There are the closed barrel types of products, which is where Molex really specifies. By closed barrel, I mean the conductor barrel where the crimping is done is completely surrounding the conductor, which allows it to be pre-insulated. Now, we sell a lot of that those types of terminals uninsulated, but the vast majority is insulated with a variety of materials, whether it be nylon, or polyvinyl chloride, PVC, or even our NIAC insulation, which is our premium heat shrinkable insulation as part of our PermaSeal family. So what Molex has always tried to do, manufacturing in the United States, we've had to stay, you know, very price competitive because it is a very price sensitive market for this type of product. There are many, many competitors out there. It's truly the commodity of all commodities type product. So we've always tried to stay ahead, both from a cost effective standpoint. It was mentioned earlier by Dan that we do have a lot of automation in our facilities, and we're always looking to, you know, increase that. How do we increase our throughput? How do we stay a cost leader, but also a quality leader? We have a very high quality standard that we hold ourselves to, and our quality is, you know, pretty well known, and it's demanded by people who who know what they're looking for in terms of this type of product, these solderless terminal products. So, you know, where do we stand out? We stand out in quality. We stand out in the breadth of our closed barrel products. And we really stand out in our overall service to customers through our distribution network.
Thank you, Chip. Just one thing I really wanted to highlight for our customers here in on the podcast is, you know, we manufacture all of these products in the United States in Tampa, Florida. But how do you see that as an advantage in, compared to some of our competitors?
It's largely an advantage, Dan, because if you look at this type, this market, the worldwide market for solderless terminals, it tends to be a localized business. So our major strength is here in the Americas, from Central America up to, you know, to North America, into Canada. We're close to our customers, close to our distributors. Now, we're talking with TTI here, who's very much a global distributor, having locations around the world. So Molex at one point in time had a footprint where we did have some manufacturing of solderless terminals in South Korea and also in Italy. We've kind of gotten out of those businesses in those geographies. So our reach has tried to extend into Europe with our product produced here in the U.S. and also in Asia. Our success in Asia is largely due to many of the OEMs here in the United States designing in Molex product, getting print position. So then when it goes to subcontractors or the EMS channel in Asia, we're able to support those customers through our Asian entities and our supply chain hubs. But it's always been important to manufacture in the United States because so much of our business, over 80% of our business is domestic, is here in the United States. And it's really, you know, long lead times, and we may touch on that in a little bit based on what's happened the last couple of years with supply chain, et cetera. But It's been really important to try to minimize lead times as much as possible because of the type of product this is. It is what I refer to lovingly as low tech, no spec. It's really a cross and quote kind of business, and really having inventory close to the customers, pretty much on demand. When they need it, that's when they want it. And you know, they're not really willing to wait extended periods of time. So that's why it's always been important to me. Molex manufactures in other regions of the world, and are there lower cost regions we could have moved this product to take advantage of the lower labor cost? Yes, but now you're increasing the pipeline. You're increasing that supply chain, if you will, and now you're having to put in significant inventory in a Molex hub somewhere as opposed to really leveraging our distributors the way we've been able to, and really the lifeblood of this product and the success of this product has been largely due to our distributors.
No, absolutely. And can you touch on, you know, looking back over the past 3 years, it seemed like every customer wanted solderless terminals and we could not produce them fast enough. And, you know, we got into some extended lead time situations. But how has Molex addressed that to service the customer and service TTI better?
Well, you know, Dan, it was kind of a perfect storm. This market does not, because it's so vast, there are so many applications using this type of product. It's not really, you know, pigeonholed in one market where if that market falls significantly or slows down, it has a huge impact on the solderless terminal market. I mean, it's literally used almost everywhere. So it's a typically very stable market. You don't see huge swings either up or down. Well, then comes the pandemic in early 2020, when there were factories that shut down and business did start falling off precipitously, but only for a short period of time. And then it turned around and, you know, really outstripped anybody's wildest dreams as far as the demand coming from all corners of the world. It just increased, you know, instead of 5 to 7% annually, it increased 50 to 70%. And it was not just for Molex, it was for everyone. And at that same time, you had the supply chain issues. For Molex, we buy some components that we use to assemble the product out of Asia. Trying to move product out of Asia got extremely difficult because of the lack of commercial flights and commercial cargo able to move that. So it got very, very expensive, if you could even move it. Then on top of that, a year later, was the ice storm in your neck of the woods down in Texas, which had a tremendous, tremendous impact on the power grid. And it shut down a lot of chemical factories, which is the basis for a lot of our plastic resins. So we went from a huge increase in demand for our metals and our plastics. And now it wasn't just trying to get them transported. It was now just trying to get them, period. So plastics. So in the meantime, while that was happening, you had the demand increasing exponentially because everybody's lead times were going out, not just Molex. All of my competitors, their lead times were stretching. Everyone from the end user, the end customer, to distributors were trying to hedge their bets. There was some binge buying. I hesitate to call it panic buying, but it was kind of like, let's get our place in line. Lead times are extending. Let's stop, you know, shopping around. Let's put out multiple orders on multiple suppliers and see which one comes in first, because typically this is a type of product where you don't just have a single source. You have multiple sources because it is that commodity type product. So Molex had a business continuity plan, a business continuity team in place that literally met daily in how do we move freight. And I know we leveraged our parent company, Koch Industries, and their ability with their logistics to try to move freight. We worked with our large resin and metals suppliers to try to increase allocation for Molex. So we started bringing in, you know, as much material as we could, as quickly as we could. And then if we couldn't get enough for all of Molex, it was allocated by that business team to wherever it was needed most. Who were the customers and the products that were in most need of that? You know, how do we keep production lines running at the end user? And how do we keep our distributors' shelves filled, or at least to some level to support, you know, not just the big customers, but distributors have literally thousands of end customers, as you both know very, very well. So, and it's everything from, you know, Joe or Jim's or John's machine shop down the road who's you know, fixing machines, fixing electrical panels that have a lot of ring terminals and quick disconnects for wiring, to the biggest, to the large automakers, to the storage server network folks. So it really runs the gamut. And then you have, you know, home builders, you have commercial construction, HVAC, appliance, you know, just so many applications needing this type of product, using this type of product. So it really put, you know, Molex and many of our competitors in a world of hurt, and you know, consequently, many of our customers felt it very, very much as well.
I think that was a good overview for our audience here. That was kind of inside the war room, supply chain war room, behind the scenes with a global product manager here at Molex. Very interesting, Chip. Thank you for sharing that.
So, Chip, given what you sort of just took us through there, that journey, and looking at where Molex are today and what you've done in regards to adding capacity, how do you feel you're positioned for the rest of 2023 and into 2024? And what does that mean to our joint customers and maybe people out there who are still having problems today with supply chain on this kind of a product?
Yeah, there's no question, John, that there are still some pain points for many customers. The good news is there was a combination during the last 2 to 3 years where Molex did add capacity where it was needed. So, for instance, with Molex, we do a lot of tape and reeling of our loose piece product to service those harness shops, those larger harness shops that are, you know, not hand crimping, but they're using either a semi-automatic or even a fully automatic means of terminating. So we've added capacity in our tape and reeling. We've added some robotics to a plant that really never had any that level of automation, you know, whether it be picking and placing parts, you know, to complete soup to nuts, kind of the components come in one side and go out the other side finished and fully assembled or put on tape and reel. We also added similar robotic capability, automation capability in our PermaSeal line, which is our premium line of heat shrinkable solderless terminals. A lot of customers specify it by name. It is truly one of the premium products out there in the industry because of its various features. But Molex worked hard on that. What we've seen lately this year, probably from January onwards, is everybody kind of taking a collective deep breath. We've worked through a significant amount of our backlog, which has helped us bring down our lead times. I will admit they're not quite where I would like them to be, where I think they need to be. But that's really where then we rely on our distribution partners like TTI to carry that inventory and to hold it for their customers and act as that buffer. As we're, you know, making improvements, we're definitely getting better. Business has slowed as, you know, demand, it's not so much that the demand at the end user level or the end, you know, the consumer level has dropped off that significantly, but there's a lot of inventory at the end customers. The inventory positions with our distributors is certainly much better than it was. So there's kind of we're in good shape now. And we're not going to be ordering like we were. We're not going to be ordering from 5 or 6 or 7 different suppliers to try to get something when we were getting nothing. So we've seen a slowdown. We've seen, again, I think things normalizing. Now, some people may say, oh my gosh, we're, you know, if you look where we were 2 years ago to where we are now, it's been a huge drop off. But you have to kind of look beyond that, past more 2018, 2019, early 2020, when the world was, I'll call it, more normal. The demand was more normal. Pockets were booming, but other pockets were not booming, were slowing. So in general, it was a relatively stable time. And I think we're heading back into that stable period. We're seeing orders now starting to increase slowly, getting more back to that pre-pandemic, pre-supply chain issue, pre-weather catastrophe time frame, where it was really just, you know, it hit everybody. It was, I hate to use the word perfect storm, but it really was a calamity of multiple factors that hit it at, you know, simultaneously. And so we're seeing a normalization. And I think the demand now will level out to some respect. It kind of has leveled out. And now we're seeing it starting to trend in a positive direction.
That's great insight, Chip. Appreciate that. And obviously, as we've talked about TTI stocking and bringing your lead times to the sort of much shorter version of them as what the customers are looking for. Thinking about Molex and TTI for a second and the relationship we have, what is it you feel that makes that relationship quite as special as it is?
Well, we already touched on the inventory. TTI is willing to hold inventory, and that is really key with this type of product because I mentioned it's, you know, low tech, no spec. Wants it when they realize they need it. They don't want to plan to wait you know, 6 to 8 weeks or longer for that type of product. So having that inventory at TTI is really a good buffer for the end customers. And it also helps Molex. We're certainly not masters of logistics, and we really rely heavily on our distributors like TTI to really take care of that portion of getting the product to our customers when they want it, holding bonded inventory for them, you know, providing a bunch of services to our customers that Molex really isn't set up to do. And so, you know, that's important. You know, look at TTI, very strong distributor for Molex, very strong globally, a strong company in general. Warren Buffett doesn't make bad bets typically, and so being part of the Berkshire Hathaway group of companies speaks volumes about TTI and their success over the years and how well they've been managed. TTI has a very knowledgeable sales force, you know, from not only the sales force, but their product management group and even their category management group. You know, John, I've known you for over 20 years that you've been with TTI. There's a lot of consistency there, and so I think all of those factors really lend to a very strong and positive relationship between TTI and Molex. And specifically for me, selfishly, TTI is a very important part of keeping my product in front of customers and keeping my products, you know, growing and the product being successful.
Thank you, Chip. And, you know, this has been a great journey with you. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to convey to the customers, and I think you've done a great job here, is one, Molex is a major player in the solderless terminal space. We have the manufacturing, we have the technical expertise, we have the scope and scale to deliver these parts on time and at a fair price. But one of the things we don't always talk about with solderless terminals are new products and new product introductions. But I hear you might have something coming out here soon. Do you want to touch on that?
Sure, I do, Dan. So Molex recently launched a locking quick disconnect. So quick disconnects, by their nature, UL refers to them as quick connects. We call them quick disconnects. There are other terms used for them in the industry, but it's really a means of quickly connecting electrical, you know, power from a wire to a printed circuit board to an electromechanical device. But most of that type of product is really just a passive retention. So what does that mean? Well, it's easy to push on, but it's also easy to pull off. So what happens when you want that connection to remain intact for an extended period of time, and the environment that application is in is one we would consider a harsh environment where there is a tremendous amount of vibration, either continuous or random vibration, a lot of stress, things that forces that act on that connection to make them want to come apart and you lose continuity. So with the locking quick disconnect, it's really just phase one of several phases we intend to launch here. But it is, you know, multiple wire gauge ranges and a single circuit at the current time. We intend to expand it to multiple circuit connectors, but it really locks in place. It locks to a tab that has the UL detent or hole in it, UL 310 specified hole or detent. And it stays firmly in place if there is any forces exerted on the wire. Virtually impossible to take it off. Well, nothing's impossible. It can be destroyed with enough force, but it's not going to just vibrate loose. It stays locked until the user either pushes down on the tab to free it if it's uninsulated, or if they're using the housing, they just pull on the housing and it releases that locking tab and it pulls right off. So that's just one of several products in that family that Molex is launching and will launch in the next couple, 3 years. And we are working on other new products to offer to our distributors. And I say distributors as opposed to our customers, because most of this type of business goes through distribution. Not a lot of sales directly to OEMs or to, you know, the end users. So again, why we rely so heavily on distribution. But we'll be looking to launch several more new products within the next 12 to 18 months.
Exciting times lying ahead, Chip. I'm looking forward to it. I know we've done the NPI for the lock-in disconnect, but I look forward to some more innovation coming down and benefiting our joint customers together. So just wrapping up there, maybe one time for one final question. Any final thoughts for for our audience about what they might expect for the rest of 2023 and maybe looking into 2024? Just anything we haven't touched on during this podcast?
Continuous improvement. I think what we'll see is we're continuing to drive our lead times down. And you may say, well, that's down is all relative, right? What's down, Chip? Well, down to me is 3 weeks for loose piece, 5 weeks on tape and reel. We first have to make it loose before we can put it on tape and reel, but we also have several series of quick disconnects where we actually manufacture them in strip form. So they're already manufactured, ready to put on a reel, just like our new locking quick disconnects. Those are manufactured on metal strips. So they are predominantly intended to be sold on a reel for customers to use in high volume, but we also have loose piece versions as well. So, you know, a little bit longer for that type of product, but by and large, getting down to that 3 weeks. So we're not there. We continuously strive to improve our quality. It's good, but you can always get better. And, you know, really just the lead time, our ability to service our distributors as they need to be serviced, and then in turn, the end user, the end customers to be serviced the way they need to and quite honestly expect to be serviced. That's what we'll be working towards. And that's what you can look for the balance of 2023 and throughout 2024.
Chip, appreciate that. And just a reminder to all of our joint customers, that's all X stock at TTI. But I think that's a given these days. So that was Chip Walsh from Molex. And Chip, thank you very much. Appreciate your insights. Great to have you on. And thank you very much for your time today. And I'm sure our audience have enjoyed this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the TTI Distribution Download. For more information on any of the topics you heard about today, reach out to your nearby TTI branch at 1-800-CALL-TTI or visit us online at tti.com.